I have a lot inside my brain now that I have extra room after my surgery, and a lot on my heart. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 17, if you would look there. As for these four children, that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, it says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Father, we just open your word now. Father, overcome human flesh and the frailty of it. Glorify yourself and your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love to us and your care of us. We thank you that you are always looking upon us and aware of our surroundings and our needs. And we pray that you would meet our needs spiritually this morning, both now and 11 o'clock. We pray for those in the Sunday school. Give the teachers clarity of thought and mind. Give them utterance and give them the power of the Spirit of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things I learned in coaching for 25 years, just up until about 4 years ago, was you always have to go back to the fundamentals. I always say that and I always forget it, and then God has to pin my ear down and get me to go back to the fundamentals, and this week he has been taking me back to the fundamentals. And I'm thankful for that, and I like the fact that he reconfirms it to me this morning as we drove here. It's 2 hours and a half. I got a chance to listen to Erwin Lutzer and Ravi Zacharias, and both of them confirmed to me what I had been looking at and what God has been dealing with me. Erwin Lutzer spoke on the subject, it's all of God, it's all of God's glory and none of me. And it was just an amazing thing to have God remind me of that. We see in the book of Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, we see some young men. The word used in the Hebrew apparently takes them around into mid-teens, the vulnerable age, the age where you can be influenced by so many things. And don't think now, I mean, how many thousand years later from Daniel's time to now, how Satan has developed his world system and how frightening it is, really, if you stop and think about it. I hate to say this to young people, but I'm thankful I'm not a young person in my day and age now. In this day and age. But don't be discouraged. God always is above all things. God is above all and over all. But we just have to be alert. It's been said this, God is looking for those whose rudder is set so that he can give them enlightenment. God is looking for those whose, you know what a rudder is, right? On a sailboat, a rudder gives you the direction you want to go. And God is looking for people whose rudders, the direction of their life is towards him so that he can give them spiritual understanding and enlightenment. The devil doesn't want that. So he distracts us so the rudder just flaps around, and when you do, you get in trouble. When we lived in Miami, I had a boat. I didn't have a rudder, but it had an engine. If you let go of the wheel to do something, you went off track. And back when I had the boat in the mid-70s, it wasn't like today. By the way, this isn't an ad for boats. But back then, we only had a high-speed compass that sat in the middle of the center console. And when you were running a map to go find a wreck, you knew it was so many degrees to the direction you were going, and you knew you had to run for a certain amount of time, and that got you in the area. The only problem is if you let go of your wheel to do one thing or took your eye off of the compass to look this way or that way, you could end up, by the time you ran a mile, you could end up a good half a mile off course. Now, today they don't have that problem. They punch in numbers in the Loran, and the GPS takes them right over the spot, and you don't have a problem. Now, I say all those things to you because so it is true in the spiritual realm too. Take your eyes off the Lord, off the Lord's purposes for you, and you're going to have a problem. We do it individually, and we do it collectively in the church. And so when we travel, people always say, well, what do you think the purpose of the local church is? What do you think the purpose of my life is? And the answer is quite simple, the glory of God. Now, God is all glorious, and we can't give Him glory. You have to learn that right away. When it says, I will glorify the Lord, He isn't saying we're going to give something God He doesn't have. He is simply saying we're going to make God in His glory known. We as believers get to obey the Lord by the Spirit in us and the Word of God and reveal how glorious God is. Peter said it this way, that we should show forth His virtues. The word virtue means moral glories. So when we go out into the world, the only God that people see is us. And in our obedience to the Word of God, by the power of the Spirit of God and the leading of the Spirit of God, we glorify and reveal to the world who God is. How are you doing? How are you doing so far? Are you sitting there thinking, uh-oh? Right? If it doesn't, then I'm not getting through to you because every one of us should say, uh-oh, because none of us are God the Son in the flesh. We are the sons of God, but not the Son of God in the flesh. And then when you read and when you hear the Word of God spoken, you should say, uh-oh. I've got to go. I've got to grow a little bit. I've got to get my compass back on track a little bit. Now, we can have all the excuses in the world. We can say, we're too young. Sorry, James, it's just that we have some young people sitting behind you. We can say, well, we're too young. And I hear that when I do camps and when we do different summer camps. You know, well, we're young and, you know, listen. Daniel and his friends were in their mid-teens. And we're going to learn today that they went through an awful lot in their decision-making. And in our day and age, in our society, even us older believers don't make the kind of decisions that Daniel had to make and obey the Lord like Daniel did. And the key is, and let me ask you this, when did Daniel and his three friends win the victories over all the great tests? Well, listen, King, don't kill everybody. I'll give you the answer. I'll just go to my God, and my God will tell me what your dream was, and He will tell me the meaning of your dream. How about that? Everybody's going to die. If somebody today, listen, Barry, what did I dream about last night? Don't you dare do it. Now, see the problem? Here he's facing. Everybody's going to die. And everybody knows he better do it good. He better do it right. I don't want to let him down. Can you imagine the pressures? Daniel says, okay. And he goes in front of Neb and he says, don't worry about it. Don't kill everybody. Just let me do it. I'll be able to do this. God will speak to me. God will let me know. My God's the living God. Their gods are idols. Their gods don't talk. And so he had no problem with that. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're told that they're going to get cast in a fiery furnace. How about that? Oh, but if you knew if you knew my circumstances, and if you knew where I worked and who I worked with, and if you knew the people in my school, man, I tell you this, I can't stand in front of them and tell them about the Lord. Really? It's easier just to give in and confess it. Really? God is everything and I'm nothing. It's God's glory and I'm nothing. That's the key. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, forget it. Our God, listen to this, can deliver us, but if our God doesn't deliver us, so what? How about that? Then Daniel, he gets thrown in a lion's den. Now, I don't know about you, but one lion would be enough, but he gets thrown in a hole in the ground with a bunch of them. Can you imagine that? Think about all of our circumstances. Think about all of our excuses. And then ask yourself this. When did Daniel win the victory over the lions? When did the three boys win the victory over the fire? And the answer is in chapter 1, verse 8. At the very beginning. You don't wait until the problem smacks you in the face and then say, I got to call all the brethren together because we got to pray. And then we got to think, okay, Lord, you got to... It comes individually by an individual commitment to God. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he was going to not let anything come between him and his relationship with the Lord. That's what verse 8 tells us. We can talk about why he wouldn't take the wine, why he wouldn't take the food. It's simply, listen, he was saying, anything that comes between me and God, my God, is going to go. I won't stand for it. And these four men, out of all the other people, in Israel are highlighted. Where's everybody else? Where's everybody else that went into captivity? And I'll tell you, that's another problem. The problem is we have too much peer pressure, and it's not just for young people, it's for older too. But I gotta get this. What will my neighbors think? And I gotta get this because look at what it said in the advertisement. We're bombarded all the time about things the world tells us that we need. Daniel and his friend said, and we'll see this at 11 o'clock, I can have joy, I can have peace without blank. Fill it in. So much so, watch this now, that John on the Isle of Patmos, after he'd been half-baked in oil, right, and lived through that experience, and put on that island to mine on that island, could write the book of Revelation. And, oh, if only you knew how God treated me, and if only you knew how bad I had it. Really? Listen, you could be on the Isle of Patmos today, alone, separated. You could be like them in Babylon, separated from your family, taken from everything you know, speaking a language you don't understand like some of you do. And listen, you still can make God the center of your life and the glory of your life, and that's all that matters. No one wants to say amen to that. I got to do like Dr. Jeremiah again. Can I have a witness? Now watch. I know you're saying, well, this is good, you're saying it to these young people. No, I'm saying it to me and to you also. Because we all go through the same thing. We're cut from the same cloth. And quite frankly, if we don't pull ourselves back to the teachings here, as we're going to do in at 11 o'clock, and go down and pull principles out on what they did and how they did it and what the results are, we're going to have a problem. And I'm going to close with two examples. One's personal, and I probably shouldn't do this, and I'll have to answer to my wife in the car on the way home. Not in a bad way, in a good way. I love my wife, and she always keeps me in check. But I'll tell you this. I want to give you another one first. Betty and I were in 1995 or 94, one of those years, coaching track in George Washington High School in Danville. We had won a state championship in 91. And we had a bunch of horses in 94. And one of them was a boy named Shante Harrison. Some of you know I've spoken this before. And Shante Harrison, because I can't tell you all the details, he allowed himself as a new believer, 1 year, not even a year in the Lord, to be deceived by a woman and to not be taught so that one day I got a call from my wife to go by and pick up a coach at school and go by his house because he took his life. He laid on the floor, he put a gun to his head, pointed it away from the bed that his mom just had delivered and paid for so she could return it, and took his life, fired into the wall. And the next day at school, there was 1,500 kids and 200 teachers and staff on the floor crying they couldn't have school. And so the principal called us and said, we need to have your wife and you come to school. I said, if I come to school, I'm coming to give Bibles out. We don't care. We don't have enough people to take care of all the people. And so I said, okay. And we went in. That day I was down by the gym and a young man came to me. His name is Sterling Harrison. He was Shantae's cousin. And he was weeping like a baby. And he said to me, I don't want to have happen to me what happened to my cousin, but I'm a Christian and I've been living in sin and I'm sad and I have no goal, I have no joy, I have no peace. He said, I haven't been glorifying the Lord, and he said, I need help. And we sat down on the floor, and that boy, about 20 minutes later, had the joy of being restored to the Lord. And I'll tell you this, it took, because he lives in Greensboro today, he has a wife and three children, a good job, and he's going on for the Lord in his church where he's at. But God had to use the death of his cousin to shake him up. I wish, I hope that God doesn't have to do that to anybody here. Because it's important to God that his people glorify him. Do you understand that? That's why Christ came and died. If you read Ephesians 3:21, it's the purpose of the church for all the ages. What is that? That, watch this now. In the church, through the church, in Jesus, that we would glorify God the Father. That, you read Ephesians 3:21. It tells you that's the purpose. Now, I got onto this Daniel thing this week because God had to wake me up and put my rudder back straight. And you might think it's a trivial thing, but listen, anything, any little thing that points you away from the Lord in any little bit, in any little way, is dangerous. It's 100% or nothing. Do you understand that? No, I know that sounds bad, but listen to this. 5 years ago, I started having a lot of health problems, as some of you know. Problem with my heart, problem with my lung, problem with cancer, problem with my shoulder, problem with my back, problem with my head. I had the surgery. And they came and they said, not me, my primary care said, you're having effects from Agent Orange. We went through 13 months of talking, 34 pages of documentation, and they gave me a claim for Agent Orange. And that meant I get 100% free medical. That's how I had my brain surgery a few months ago. That's how I had my shoulder repaired. I couldn't afford to do it, except all that stuff happened. And then recently I got a letter saying that I have to go see a contract doctor in Durham. It was this past Friday. And I have to sit before somebody for 30 minutes, talk to them, go have a couple of tests, and they will make a determination if I should still have it. Little thing for you, isn't it? Not for me. And boy, was I sitting there all week trying to figure out, what's going to happen? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What can I do to help myself? How can I work this out? You get it? You get it? Are you with me? Is that trusting the Lord? Is that giving the Lord my life? Yeah, right. And then all of a sudden, I start to study for today. I go to Daniel, and God says, guess what? He purposed in his heart not to defile himself, not let anything come between him and his God. And then I get in the car this morning, and I hear a story from Erwin Lutz. I hear a story from Ravi Zacharias about people who had to just give it all to the Lord and trust him. And I have to bow my head and say, Lord, I am so sorry. I let this thing. I told my wife, I think just this weekend, I said, honey, this thing's been eating at me. And I said, it's sad. I'm wrong. I've just got to give it and say, Lord, take my life. If you want me to have it, fine. If not, you know why? Because we've been in the Lord's work since 1983, And God is never, ever not taking care of us. But when you get the old enemy to slip in the back door and you get to trusting that instead of your God, that's where I was. And I have to purpose in my heart again. I will not let that happen. I will not let myself be defiled by anything that comes between me and the glory of God. Even if it means I don't have insurance for the rest of my life and I die of malnutrition. I hope God's focusing your mind on your life right now and not on mine. I hope you're saying, you know what, Lord, my rudder might be pointed in the wrong direction. Because, listen, that's what the world does to you. That's what the enemy does to you. He just wants you not to focus and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come short of the glory of God so quickly and so easily, and so we just bow before you. Father, we're thankful that you knew this would happen. You knew what we would do. You knew the sins we commit, and you still laid them on your Son, the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. But Father, we confess, we agree. Father, we just come off the rails so quickly. We get our rudder crooked so quickly, Father. We get to where we don't trust in the true and the living God 100% like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Father, to the point where we are willing to say, our God can deliver us, but if not, so be it. You're a loving God. You're an all-powerful God. You're an all-knowing God. You're a wise God. And you can work out the areas of our life, the direction of our lives, and the facts of our lives. And so we commit that to you. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. He always did the Father's will. He always glorified his Father. He even came into the world saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he did that always to the point of death, even the death of the cross. O Father, may we be like our Lord. May we be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us, Lord. Keep us focused on the glory of God. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.